Hey, Bruiser Buddies, this is Wrestling Nostalgia with Dave Dynasty.
Before we dive into the episode, make sure you hit subscribe on the podcast platform you're listening on. Also, follow me on X at The Dave Dynasty and subscribe on YouTube by looking up Nostalgic Dave Dynasty. You can also buy one of my shirts at ProWrestlingTees.com/TheDaveDynasty. Now, enjoy the show.
Welcome to 1 hour of the toughest, roughest wrestling you'll ever see.
That's right, Dick the Bruiser said it all.
The big question, have you got the endurance? Have you got the brains to get past the excellence of execution?
The reason why X and myself were put on this earth is to demolish people.
Bobby Heenan, that is a very good-looking sport coat you've got on.
Yeah, and I paid for mine. Mine isn't government issue.
Yellow, everybody. Lance Russell and Dave Brown right along ringside. By golly, we're ready to go with another big week of championship wrestling.
Greetings, wrestling fans, and welcome to Wrestling Nostalgia. I'm your host, Dave Dynasty. This is a very special episode of Wrestling Nostalgia. This is our 300th episode. I can hardly believe that we have made it to this. We've had some lulls, we've had some hiatuses, but we've got here 300 episodes. We've gotten lots of well wishes already. I appreciate that. And this is kind of a special episode because of that. I have a really cool guest today on this episode. It is Dangerous Dan Spivey. We'll talk about his career. Breaking in, the skyscrapers, Waylon Mercy. We talk about it all. Dan was gracious to give us a little bit of time in his busy schedule to speak. So let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll have that interview with Dan Spivey. So stick around.
Hey, you bums. We have to take a quick break.
Phil Singer Games is a tabletop cards and dice game company that has enjoyed success for over 3 decades. Their first game was Champions of the Galaxy and was released in 1986. Champions of the Galaxy is a tabletop game that features professional wrestling over 100 years in the future. Humans, aliens, and monsters battle in the Galactic Wrestling Federation for belts. Legends of Wrestling features officially licensed wrestling cards featuring stars like Ted DiBiase, Jimmy Snuka, Harley Race, and many, many more, including game sets for independent promotions. Each match takes place in real time. The action is fast and furious, and all the things that happen in pro wrestling, like cage matches, outside interference, three-man tag matches, they also happen in the games. You have the opportunity to run your own wrestling promotion involving either real-life stars or fictional characters of the future, or you can mix and match both. Visit PhilSingerGames.com for more information and to order the games today. That is Filsinger Games, PhilSingerGames.com to order now. If you like horror movies, be sure to check out Dave Dynasty and Ike Isaacs on the Listen to Their Screams Horror Podcast. It is available on all podcast platforms and on social media at Listen to Screams. That is Listen, the number 2, and Screams. Hey ho, everybody. Subscribe to the Pinhead Pod, the Ramones fan podcast, bringing you interviews, news, deep dives, and much more. Look it up on your favorite podcast platform. That is Pinhead Pod.
We're back on Wrestling Nostalgia.
And welcome back to Wrestling Nostalgia. This time I'm being joined by Dangerous Dan Spivey. Sir, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am doing great. So let's just get right to it. You've done lots of interviews, so we can skip something. But you're from Tampa, Florida, originally.
Yes.
And played football at the University of Georgia, as we all know. Yeah. But tell us the story. You wound up back in Tampa and met Dusty Rhodes, which led to you entering wrestling. How did you meet Dusty?
I met him in a country western bar.
Yeah?
He used to hang out at this place, and I used to go, and we got to know each other standing up at the bar.
Okay.
Well, and Dallas then Bull was the name of the bar.
Yeah. Well, and then Dusty trained you, right? And brought you into Florida.
And you started off your team. You were teaming with Scott Hall, right? The American yeah. Starships.
Scott, yeah. We started working out with Barry in Tampa while Dusty was there.
Yeah,
he was the booker in Tampa.
Yeah. Right.
And then he got an offer to go to Charlotte mm-hmm. with the Crockett production up there.
Yep.
And me and Scott followed him up there.
Yeah.
And
so
started.
Well, what did you think of the American Starship thing? With, I mean, they were calling you, well, calling you Eagle, calling Scott Coyote. What did you think of that whole thing?
I have no idea where Dusty came up with that.
That's a very Dusty thing, though, right? I mean, did he? Yeah, how did he say it? Did he come up? Did he come up to you and give you one of those? It's the American Starship, baby.
Yeah, exactly. Eagle and Coyote.
Well, like you said, you went to Mid-Atlantic when Dusty started booking there.
Yeah.
And then for a while, you guys also started working in Kansas City. And Scott Hall has told the tale, though, that you didn't stay in Kansas City long because you hated it there.
I hated it. I did. We're driving 3,000 miles a week, making $200. So anyway, I stayed there about 6 months, and I left Scott there, went back. Dusty told me to come on back, and things didn't get any better. Luckily, I made friends with Ricky Steamboat.
Okay.
Steamboat had a gym there, and he let me train there. He understood the situation, and he started working out with me once a week. When they did the local TV, they had to set the rings up. So I went a couple hours early, and Ricky met me, and that's really who got me started. It was Ricky Steamboat.
Gotcha. So this is when Ricky was still in Mid-Atlantic, or when he was working for New York?
He was working at that time. He was working in New York.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he was good friends with George Scott, who was a booker.
Sure.
For Vince. And Ricky took some pictures of me, and they brought me in. So really, owe Ricky a lot. He did a lot for me.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, and when you got to New York, right, they teamed you with Mike Rotundo. And as the U.S. Express. But what you were kind of replacing Barry Windham, right? And
yes.
Did in Vince's eyes, we hear these stories how Vince thinks. Did he just see another big blonde guy and thought people won't know the difference?
Well, I don't know. I guess so. I was happy for it. Yeah, it was a great idea.
It's a good spot to be in, right? I mean,
oh yeah, it was just a huge huge break for me. And I owe Mike Rotundo a lot too, because I've only been in the business about 9 months. And was working in New York, and I was green, really green. And but Mike took care of me, really did. And grateful for that.
Obviously, you and Mike, we'll talk about it here in a bit. Your paths crossed again in a major way in a few years. But after Mike left, right, he left, and then you kind of had a singles run there in New York. And they started calling you Golden Boy, Dan Spivey, yeah. Danny Spivey. A lot of people say that it was a little odd because you were wearing the yellow boots, the yellow trunks, the gold, the blonde hair. Why did they not try to give you? Do you have any idea why they didn't give you something a little more distinctive from Hogan at that time?
That's the biggest mistake I ever made, was doing that. Nobody said anything to me, so I didn't know. I had some fur boots to begin with.
From the Starship stage, right?
I hated that as it gets some other boots.
So yeah.
The thing that I should have done was have my beard grow out, have long hair, dyed it black, and worked like Brody. And I could have made lots of money.
Against Hogan, right? Yeah, I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, Hogan liked working those big guys, whatever else. You would have been perfect in that heel spot against him.
Yeah. So, that's a huge mistake on my part. But I didn't have anybody tell me either. I'm young, green. I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah. So I was going to say, you said it, right? You're young. What were you, I mean, you're just happy to be there making money. What were you going to do? I mean, so what ended up causing you to leave the WWF?
Vince told me that it wasn't my fault that God made me 6'6 with blonde hair.
And he already had that guy, huh?
Yeah, I had that guy. It took him a couple of years to figure it out, but, it was a good run. It was a good start.
Yeah, well, of course. Yeah, and And then you started wrestling some in Puerto Rico, did some in All Japan. You mentioned Brody, right? The word is that Brody's the guy that got you to go to Japan, got you booked over there. How true is that?
Nah, that's not true. Terry Funk did.
Okay.
You know, when Vince let me go, I didn't know a whole lot of people. I only worked in a couple of territories, Kansas City and Charlotte a little bit. And I didn't know anybody, you know, with any connections. And also Vince was taking over everything. So, you know, going to territories were about finished up. And I've been out of work for about a month. And I owed the IRS 18 grand. And Terry Funk called me and asked me if I wanted to go to Japan. I said, God, yeah, I'm ready. And he said, I'll call you back and let you know what they say. So he calls me back. He says, I got you booked over there for $3,500 a week, Spivey. But I told him you're so eager to come over there that you only take 3 grand.
Thanks, Terry.
You know where that other 500 went? In Terry's
Terry's
pocket.
pocket.
But
I
yeah,
can imagine.
Terry Funk, you know, I had a lot of people that helped me along in my career, and Terry was a good mentor and helped me a lot in Japan, how to work over there and, you know, act.
You had a great career in Japan, right? Because they love those foreigners, those big imposing foreigners, and that's I mean, you teamed with all those, Hansen and all those, big guys over there over the years. You had a great career in Japan. But like we said, you ended up in '89. You came back to the NWA to Crockett's, and this is where we talked about you and Mike Rotundo get back, right? Because you're in the varsity club, right? With doing that, they had that collegiate group gimmick, and right, obviously you went to Georgia, so they played off that. I always loved the varsity club, man. I always thought it was a great gimmick in its prime because I thought Mike Rotundo was that great snobby quarterback, kind of guy, and then he had all these muscle guys around him. So, but what did you think about being in the varsity club at that time?
I thought it was a great idea. You know, the big thing about that is that we were all legit, you know, had Doc from Oklahoma, football wrestler, and Rotundo for Syracuse, and Steiner from Michigan, and me from Georgia. And they did nothing with it. You know, I never understood that.
Yeah, I thought it could have been more too. But what did you think of working with Kevin Sullivan, right? And one of the greatest minds in wrestling history there.
Well, Kevin hated it. He hated the gimmick. He hated it because it was against everything he ever did. You know, the devil and stuff, and now they're going to make him the coach of the varsity club. And that's probably why we never did anything with it, because Kevin, he didn't like it at all.
Yeah, they didn't change him a whole lot for that. And everything. So he was kind of the oddball in that group. And I think they what they tried to say he went to Boston College or something like that. They tried to tie it in, but he was still Kevin Sullivan. It was a little unique. But after that disbanded, this is you got into one of the runs that you're one of the runs that you're most known for. You started teaming. You're managing with Teddy Long, teaming with Sid Vicious as the Skyscrapers. And so many people, this to me, there's two runs you're most known for, and we'll talk about the other in a bit. But this is one of them, right? People remember the Skyscrapers. So many people, the magazines, all kinds of guys were calling you guys the tag team of the future, right? These big, the new Road Warriors. You heard that kind of stuff bantered around. Eventually, though, Sid had a broken rib, punctured a lung. He was gone. It kind of seemed like it kind of put the brakes on what you guys had going on. Do you have any idea? What was going on? What was the plan for you and Sid had that not happened? Have they talked to you about that at all?
No, not at all. You know, we worked with the Road Warriors, we worked with the Steiner Brothers, and they never did anything with us. You know, if the people already know you're going to lose, they're going to come and watch it. There's no mystery to the whole deal. And if you never beat them, you know, people aren't going to buy it. You know, there's no angles, there's nothing. You know, they did nothing with us. It was unbelievable that somebody could come up with that. Hey, let's put these guys over once in a while. You know, it never happened.
Yeah, it felt like to me at that time watching, felt like the natural progression that the Road Warriors should have kind of passed the torch a little bit to you guys. They did have to bury them, but hey, put you over a little bit. I thought it was a shoe-in that you guys would have a run with the tag titles at some point, and it just seemed like that would that was a gimme. Again, who knows? I mean, with Sid getting injured, who knows what would have happened ultimately? But then when Sid gets injured, right, they bring in Mean Mark Callis to fill in the future Undertaker, who was at that time pretty young. What'd you think of Mark at that time and teaming with him and him coming in?
What happened? It stops and it goes.
Oh.
But yeah, they brought Mark in, and you know, he was a great athlete. I knew that he was going to be really good. The thing is, they said that he was really green, but he wasn't that green. He'd been around a while. Of course, I learned that all later. And, you know, I just got fed up with the fact that they didn't do anything with us. And we're going around with the Road Warriors, and they were beating Mark every night. And I just got fed up with it. And I got pissed off at the Road Warriors. So, you know, I just I went back to Japan.
Yeah, they said you got a little pissed because the Road Warriors were taking some liberties with Mark and everything. And, you know, so that kind of irritated you. Would you have ever thought that Mark would become one of the biggest names in wrestling history though, at some time?
No, not at that time. No, I knew he's a great athlete, but I have to say he came up with the greatest gimmick, and he worked it, you know, better than anybody could ever imagine. And, he's probably one of the best big men that ever worked in the business.
Yeah, because, I mean, on paper, right, The Undertaker sounds like a silly thing, right? And a lot of guys, it wouldn't have worked. But somehow, he always made it work. It somehow, you know, he's just – I mean, that's a credit to him, I guess, right, that you're able to take something like that at that time and do what he did with it and keep it fresh.
I didn't see much of the other gimmick that he did when the biker deal.
Yeah.
I saw some clips lately, and he did a great job with that too. I mean, you know, but the Undertaker was awesome.
It was. Yeah. So you left WCW 90. That you saying that's because of just kind of being fed up, no push, no direction, Road Warriors taking liberties. That's just kind of why you left and went back to Japan then, just fed up.
Yeah, pretty much.
So what then you did end up returning to WCW. What changed? What brought you back to WCW, whatever it was, a year or so later?
Just something to fill in for Japan here and there. You know, Stan came in, me and Stan tagged up. And again, nobody did anything with us, you know. And I got in trouble with the Dr. Zorian deal. And
yeah,
instead of Dusty was the booker, the guy that brought me into the business asked me to do a job for Tom Zink.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be me and Stan against the Steiner brothers. Well, Scott got hurt or something, sick. So they had Tom Zink take his place. And, you know, me and Stan are the tag team champions over in Japan. Mm-hmm. And they wanted a substitute to take the fall on me. And I said, I'm not doing that. And they said, well, you're fired.
Yeah.
And I think most of that was the fact that, you know, I had the Dr. Zahorian, the steroid deal. And so I think that might have something to do with them. Dusty let me go. I don't know.
Yeah. So you think that issue the with the WWF, the steroid thing and all that, that was still carrying over to WCW. Maybe they didn't want to be tied to you because of that.
I think that makes the most sense. You know?
Yeah, I mean, because a lot of guys, right, they were trying to distance themselves from that kind of stuff, right? I mean, Vince went with the smaller guys. I mean, trying to, hey, we're running cleaner, so to speak, but we all know how that is. but you had another little run with WCW later, but you also, in various times from 90 to 94, worked for Herb Abrams and the UWF. And we've all heard the crazy-ass Herb Abrams story. How true are those? How crazy was Herb Abrams? How cocaine driven?
Probably worse than what you've heard. He was way out there, and that guy was crazy. You know, he did a lot of cocaine, and just he wanted to be one of the boys. And,
yeah.
He spent a fortune on just crazy stuff. You know, I was lucky. He always paid me because I had that stupid belt of his.
And
I had a little bit. Love that belt, and I held that over his head, give him a check.
Did anybody, I mean, did any of the boys working for him take him seriously, or were they just like, we're just going to make the money and whatever happens, happens?
Yeah, they enjoyed partying with him. He was, he'd stay up for days. It was crazy.
Well, I mean, because he had his favorite guys, right? I mean, you know, he had, you know, Brian Blair was around a lot, and Bob Orton. He had certain guys he went to a lot. Every time he popped back up. Doc, yeah. And everything. And it always got the vibe that these guys were just like, oh, yeah, you know, Herb will throw us some money. It'll be all right for a bit, but, you know, whatever.
I'll tell you a good story. He booked us for the MGM Grand in Vegas.
Yeah,
Vegas. And the auditorium holds something like 50,000 people.
Oh, yeah.
And brought all these guys in, all the top names that were around.
Yeah.
And probably was 2,000 people in the place. And, you know, he died shortly after that because I heard he stiffed, well, I don't know, but he stiffed the MG Grand, ran out on him, didn't pay the bill.
For that show? Did you get paid for that show?
Oh, yeah, I did.
Whatever. Yeah. So whatever happened to that belt? Did you ever give the belt back?
No, I don't know. I had it in Steve Kern's dojo over here, and somebody ran off with it. I don't know.
Yeah. So okay, I mentioned earlier, right, there's two runs that you're most known for. The Skyscrapers and then Waylon Mercy. Right, you come in 95, you came back to WWF, you're Waylon Mercy. Based on, everybody says it's based on De Niro's character from Cape Fear.
True.
Okay, so how did that develop? Was that a Dan Spivey ideal? Was that a Vince ideal? How did that develop?
Well, it was me and Vince and Jerry Briscoe just sat down and started talking, and they wanted to bring me in. They had a lot of young talent there, and they wanted me to come in and be sort of like a leader. And we're talking about different stuff. And I told Vince that I wanted to play this character I saw that Robert De Niro played. Mm-hmm. And so we got together and came up with Waylon Mercy. He came up with the name and I came up with the gimmick. So,
yeah. And they did these series of vignettes, you know, before you debuted, and these interviews, right? It was very different from anything you'd ever done before, right? These interviews were, you know, were very calm, right? Very very calculating. You seem to be super into it. How much fun were you having? Because this is so different from anything Danny Spivey's done before that.
Yeah, it's something that I just wished I could have stayed healthy and done. I loved it. You know, I got to be somebody, you know, other than myself. Mm-hmm. And I just enjoyed the character. You know, I enjoyed the whole aspect of it, you know, and it was something that, you know, it was undone business. And I just wished I could have finished it. You know, it was a great character.
Yeah. You mentioned the injuries, right? Later, I mean, even, I think it was just late 95, right? You had to kind of retire because of injuries. Given, like you said, given that character, given that position you were in, right? Because you were having a good run. How heartbreaking was that for you when you're just like, man, I can't do this.
Yeah, it was tough. I mean, I retired 2 weeks later. I had my hip replaced.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And then 6 months later, I had my knee replaced. So, yeah, I was beat up. I was hurt before I ever got into wrestling. I had a bad knee in Georgia.
Yeah.
I got hurt.
Yeah.
So
in this hypothetical dream world, had you not had to retire at that time, what do you think the ceiling would have been for Waylon Mercy? What do you think you could have achieved with that run?
Wow. You know, it's tough to think about it. It's heartbreaking, really, you know, to do all that I've done. And then I finally get something that I'm really good at and unable to do it.
What was Vince invested in it? Because that seems completely like a character he would have been totally behind and really got into being on his TV.
What was that again? Sorry.
That's okay. I said, was Vince invested in that character? Because it completely seems like the kind of character that Vince would have got into and loved to see on TV.
Yeah, I thought so. But they had me do a job for Savio Vega on
pay-per-view. Yeah,
I just couldn't believe they did that, and so. Then I went to a pay-per-view, and they didn't use me at all. And I was in Montreal. We were in Montreal, and it was snowing, mm-hmm. and it was 85 back in Tampa. Mm. And I said, "Take me to the airport."
Yeah. So then let's skip ahead a few years, right? Tell us a story where you're at the WWE Performance Center. And there's who would be known as Bray Wyatt there. And I hear he approached you and said he had an idea of kind of taking that Waylon Mercy character, carrying it on, and that you're like, "Hey, go for it." How did that, tell us that story from your side.
Well, I've been close with Mike and the whole family. And I went down to the Performance Center and Bray approached me and, I told him it's a great idea. And so we talked and came up with some ideas and stuff. And I told him I'd be honored if he did it. And he did. And he did a great job with it. He did.
Sure. Was there ever any talks of maybe you doing some vignettes with him, passing the torch, making an appearance, or just was there not really any?
No, they didn't want to do it for some reason. Not Bray or Wyndham.
Yeah, right.
Office.
But you obviously, you did resurface a little bit in that Bray world, right? In like around 2019, because you did voice Mercy the Buzzard for those Firehouse Funhouse segments, right? I'm sure that's a Bray idea, right? Did he reach out?
Yeah, that was Bray.
I'm
a buzzard now. I went from Waylon Mercy to a buzzard.
Man, you've been all kinds of things. I mean, you went from doing the Starship thing and whatever to the collegiate thing to Waylon Mercy and voicing a buzzard.
Yeah. Man,
wrestling's wild. Huh? I mean, it's
very versatile.
Did you at all grasp what Bray was talking about with these fun segments and these puppets, or you're just like, whatever. I'll just tell me what to do. I'll do the voice.
Who knows?
Pin me, pay me. Whatever, I don't care. And I noticed there on your wall, and I was going to ask you, right? You, the Waylon Mercy Hassle Toys figure that you finally, I believe, is it, to my knowledge, the only Dan Spivey figure ever produced that I can remember. I could be wrong on that, but how did you like that getting an action figure? Not only that, but getting it made as in your Waylon Mercy.
I just signed a deal last year with a guy that's making these.
Yeah.
And so now's better than never. So, we got them out there and, they're starting to move pretty good. People are buying them. So it's all good.
Yeah, because, I mean, all those guys that watched Waylon Mercy when they were young, they're all grown now and have money. So they can buy the Waylon Mercy action figures that are out there and everything. So you look back in your career, right? Obviously, you said, right, there's that little bit of, I don't want to say regret. That's not the right word. But, right, that the being injured, having that Waylon Mercy run cut short. Do you have any other regrets of your career? Any other move you made that maybe you wish you hadn't have done? Anything you would have liked to achieve that you didn't get a chance to? I mean, when you look back on your wrestling career, any regrets?
Sure. We have already spoken about the Waylon Mercy, about not being able to finish that.
Yeah.
But any regrets? Yeah, I got lots of regrets. I've been sober now for 16 years. And, yeah. Being hooked on drugs and alcohol, I wish I'd never done that. But, by me being a drug addict and alcoholic, it's opened a lot of doors to where I can have the platform to help other people, that have drug and alcohol problems.
Yeah, you've turned that regret that negative. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. But you turned that regret, that negative, into a positive, right? Because you took what you did, what you went through, to try to help other people now, which is a pretty great thing.
Yeah, we're in the process of putting a book together. It should be out by Christmas, and hopefully, you know, that book will get out and people will read it. And if I can get sober, anybody can get sober. You know.
So tell me more about the book. What is it? Is it mainly about the sobriety? Is it about, or is it just a Dan Spivey biography with sobriety being a big aspect of that?
It's a biography of my life story. You know, everything Good. That I've been through, what I've done, and what sobriety has brought me. You know, a good life, and I talk about that, and about, you know, there's life.
Yeah,
without drinking alcohol.
Sure, and it's fun when you look up Dan Spivey now, right? Because there's a lot of positive things that you see. You're right. You're speaking on behalf of sobriety and talking to all people. But tell me about what is I can't remember the restaurant. What's the breakfast restaurant that you've been a spokesman?
Station.
Yeah. What? Tell me about that. What is that?
It's for breakfast and lunch from 7 to 3.
Is it there in Tampa? Is it in Tampa?
There's something like 13 of them.
Okay, gotcha. Around,
you know, surrounding counties up here in Florida.
So how does that happen? Is that a place where Dan Spivey goes went a lot to have breakfast and lunch? And
well,
said,
yeah,
hey.
It was. We moved up here to a little place called Spring Hills, about 40 miles north of Tampa. And I used to go to this place to eat breakfast every morning. And I just loved the way the breakfast was, you know, the whole layout. I saw the owners come in and they worked harder than the staff. And I got together with them and told them I wanted to invest some money in the breakfast station. So me and my wife have two of them.
Okay, so you're franchising. You own franchise. I mean, you're actually investing. Are there breakfast station commercials out there featuring Dan Spivey anywhere?
Not anymore. We used to do them. We did for quite a while. But I was the ambassador of BS.
Yeah, breakfast station. Okay, I gotcha. I'm like, what's BS mean? But I get you. All right. You know, I like breakfast. That's a good thing to be an ambassador of, I guess. I mean, I just a little over a week ago, I moved to Pensacola. So I'm going to have to see if I can track down a breakfast station anywhere within driving distance for me. But when you look up things, not only that, right? Not only is Dan Spivey the ambassador of BS and he's got this book coming up later in the year, but you also seem to be, you know, enjoying time with your grandkids and you seem to be playing a lot of golf. And Dan, you got some pretty wild golf attire there. You got some John Daly looking stuff going on there. What's have you always been a golfer?
Company, loudmouth.
So have you always played a lot of golf, or has that been a kind of more of a retirement thing?
Oh no, since I retired, yes. You know, I play about 4 days a week.
Yeah,
and then when I'm not playing, I'm practicing. So I love golf. It gives me something to do.
Yeah, so I mean, Dan Spivey's retirement looks like you know, good breakfast, food, and golf. Then, right? I mean, that's who would have thought Waylon Mercy would have? That's what his time would be spent. So, do you still get? You obviously, you said you had the book coming up. You got the figure out. You're still, you know, involved a little bit in that peripheral wrestling. Do you still get out there and do the occasional appearance, signings at conventions and things?
Well, you know what. I haven't in the past, but we started now because we got the book getting ready to come out and just letting people know that I'm still around and, you know, getting out there. And so the main reason is to let people know that, you know, what we're doing. You know, we have the book and, you know, it's just something that we're really looking forward to doing.
Yeah, it's kind of a good time to be in your position, right? Because nostalgia sells right now, right? I mean, people are looking for those figures of those guys and books and all that kind of stuff. So it's you know, it's kind of a good position to have that name value and that career behind you, and you know, still be able to, you know, to have a post retirement, you know, career, and still be involved in wrestling. I think I probably know this answer, but do you watch any modern wrestling at all?
No, not really. I watched when Bray was around, you know.
Yeah.
But
it's a bit,
you know, it's just, you have to be a gymnast nowadays to do that.
Yeah. It's a different business. And
you know, people used to, you know, about us, we were all big guys and we beat the crap out of each other and made it look as real as good, you know, without killing them. And nowadays it's just too much BS.
I agree. And yeah, and not the breakfast station kind of BS, the bad BS, right? Yeah. Well, exactly. We mentioned, yeah, as we wrap it down, right? I was going to ask you if you have any, you know, wrestling related projects in the works, but you mentioned the book. Due out later this year. Is that something you're doing by yourself? Do you have someone you're writing with, or are you at liberty to kind of say that now? Or
I have my wife helping me.
Okay, gotcha.
She's the boss. She knows everything.
Absolutely. I gathered that, right? She was my point of contact. She got you set up on the call. So there's worse things, right? I mean, to be in charge. But all right. So the book coming out late in the year. I look forward to that. I'm a big book guy. I have pretty much every biography there is. So I look forward to reading yours. So hopefully, you know, keep in touch with that. I'll be watching for that. Is that something you guys are just publishing independently on your own?
Yes. Yes, we are.
That's what a great time to be alive where you can do that now, right? You don't have to have a publishing deal, right? You can put it out there yourself.
Yeah.
That's a great thing. So again, I know you've got, you know, some things I wanted to, you know, I don't want to keep you too long. I want to give you a little time to maybe catch your breath before you go on to your next interview that I know you got scheduled, but you got all these things going on. Is there a way that fans can follow you, keep track of these things so they can hear maybe the exact date for the book to come out and anything like that? Is there a way for them to do that?
We don't have an exact date when the book's coming out. We just know it's going to be before Christmas.
Okay. You know? Do you have any social media though, where they can follow you to watch when you do make that announcement?
Yes. Where does it end?
It's at the Whalen Mercy.
At Whalen Mercy.
At the Whalen Mercy.
At the Whalen Mercy. What platform is that on?
That's Instagram. And then we're going to do TikTok as well.
Okay.
And then Facebook. Facebook is the biggest platform. Okay.
All right. So if you go to Facebook and Instagram, those are up now. At the Whalen Mercy. TikTok to be coming soon. Dan Spivey on TikTok. What a world.
Whatever thought.
Man, 2025, Dan Spivey, the ambassador of BS, playing golf and on TikTok. Is this the same guy that used to
be doing it too?
That's right. Is this the same guy that used to beat the shit out of preliminary wrestlers? Come on. Well, Dan, again, I didn't want to keep you too long. I know your time's valuable, and I know you have another thing scheduled. It is such an honor to talk to you. Honestly, when this episode comes, this will be my 300th episode. So you're kind of a special milestone for me, my 300th podcast episode. So that's kind of cool. Thank you. And then I couldn't think of a better guest to have on there. So I was wanting to have somebody kind of important. And Dan, you check all those boxes.
Hey, you bums. We have to take a quick break.
Available on all streaming platforms. It's professional wrestling's greatest, largest, privately owned wrestling library. All the classic hits, flips, slams, and pins of yesteryear are on one place. It's Ultimate Classic Wrestling. Check out the Nature Boy Ric Flair, Hulk Hogan, Mr. USA Tony Atlas, Tito Santana, Rick Martel, a who's who of professional wrestling's greatest spotlight stars ever to grace the squared circle, all in one place. Grab the best seat in the house for memories and mayhem on Ultimate Classic Wrestling.
Hey guys, Ray Russell here. Lots of new stuff happening here at WrestleCopia. If you haven't checked out our website at WrestleCopia.com, it's a great way to keep up with the latest episodes of all of your favorite Copia programming, from the Wrestling Memory Grenade to Regional Wrestling with the Territory Talk, the Wrestling Stoop with the legendary Bob Roop, and of course all of those programs also available at your favorite podcast streaming platforms. And if you want to stay up to date with everything going on in the Copia world, all the latest news, random thoughts, fun videos, pictures, and more, make sure to join the more than 33,000 followers over at facebook.com/wrestlinggrenade. Don't be left out. And last, but definitely not least, it's what keeps the entire machine going. I'm talking about patreon.com/WrestleCopia. We appreciate your support in helping us pay the bills to keep the WrestleCopia Podcast Network running and enabling us to continue to bring you all the quality programming that we offer.
We're back on Wrestling Nostalgia.
All right, and once again, thank you to Dan for coming on and doing that interview. Thank you to all you for getting me here. 300 episodes because of you guys. I appreciate that. Make sure you go follow me on social media. Just look up Nostalgic Dave Dynasty or at The Dave Dynasty, and you'll find me there. Also, be sure to go check out all the other WrestleCopia network of podcasts. You can go to WrestleCopia.com to find them or look them up on your preferred podcast platform. Also, be sure to check out my friends at the Ultimate Classic Wrestling Library. Go to ClassicWrestling.net to sign up for your account today, and then download the Ultimate Classic Wrestling app on all of your smart devices. All right, we'll be back next week with another episode. Watch social media for the announcement of that guest. And until then, guys, wherever you go and whatever you do, be good, be safe, and always keep on growing.
Fans, we brought you All-Star Championship Wrestling. This is Sam Manager thanking you for being with us and saying until next time, so long, everyone.
Wrestling Nostalgia is copyright Dave Dynasty. Bruiser voice done by John Lawson.